Good morning, saints of God. How are you today? Good, 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 good. All right, so we are on the second part of this series that we started called Winning the Mind Wars. And I just have to say kind of up front by way of review that if you miss last Sunday's service, go online, gracechapel.net, and watch it. That includes all y'all down in the chapel. If y'all missed it last week, go on and watch it and get caught up with us. I'll give you a very brief review, but there's way more that you need to watch and to take in from last week. So, Winning the Mind Wars, very brief review. We made some points last week that, number one, without question, humanity and specifically the church is under attack. And it is an attack on our mind. There are mind wars going on. Now, where does this attack come from? There's two resources, really. One of the sources of the attack is from our own fallen nature. It's called our flesh. That's part of where the ungodly thoughts and attitudes arise and wreak havoc in our mind. It's part of it. Now, the other part of it, the other source of this warfare that we fight, is really from the enemy of our soul. And we saw that it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when the serpent, that deceiver, began to seductively seduce Eve. And he played a mind game, a mind war on her that caused her and her husband Adam to fall, that produced the entire fall of mankind from that moment forward. It was a mind war. We talked about how we as people of God, how we really need to start thinking about what we think about. That we cannot, and it is not right just to say that we love Jesus with our hearts and yet let this war go on in our minds that's ripping us off, that's stealing and killing and destroying. We've got to start thinking about what we're thinking about and then respond to that biblically. We looked at Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We made the important discovery that that word think means to be a gatekeeper, strangely enough. That as a man is a gatekeeper over the thoughts of his mind, as a man thinks in his mind and in his heart, so is he. Wow, what profound meaning. What sobering truth. What you let go on up here in your mind will eventually dictate your entire destiny. What you give place to in your mind will eventually give birth to actions, and those actions will then set the course for your future and your destiny. And it all starts with the thoughts you and I think. This is that important. As a man thinks in his heart or in his mind, so is he. We got to be good gatekeepers about what we let in or what is in there, then what we do with it to make sure that it doesn't get out of control and cause us to do things that are contrary to the way and will and word of God. We're going to ease into this morning, okay? So that's some review for you. Now let's ease into this. It's interesting to me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, and the Apostle Paul here is talking to church members. He's talking to the church specifically here in Corinth. And he says to them that I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by the craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul's concern and fear needs to become our concern and fear. Paul is concerned for believers that they would be so seductively deceived by Satan that their minds would become corrupted from the simplicity, from the genuineness, from the focus and the discipline that is in the person of Jesus Christ. Beloved, Believers are not only not exempt from satanic mind wars, they are the target of satanic mind wars. That's why we have to get our minds renewed. If our minds are going to be renewed, this is how this works. We're unpacking this. If our minds are going to be renewed, we need to know what they're to be renewed from. And so for the next 2 weeks, starting today, we're going to talk about the carnal mind. And then we're going to talk about the corrupt mind and the darkened mind and the depraved mind. Today, we're just going to talk about the carnal mind. Next week, God willing, we'll get all three of them. Now, again, wanting to repeat what I said last week, I had a precious, wonderful, sweet woman come up to me after first service. She said, "This is my first time here, and I can't believe how many churches I go to where the preacher tells us we got to do something and then never tells us how to do it." And I said, "Well, go back and listen to last week, because I explained to you this is a building block thing. This is foundational. We've got to understand some things first, and then we're going to get to the point over the last couple weeks where we really talk in depth about how. But we got to build a foundation first, okay?" So today we're going to talk about the carnal mind. And then we'll get into eventually how we renew these things. I throw you little tidbits every once in a while. Grab onto those, but know for sure we're going to unpack it in detail in the coming weeks. Suffice it to say, winning and renewing our minds starts with identifying what is the wrong mind to have. What are the wrong thoughts to have? And then when we identify them, we move into repenting from them, receiving forgiveness for them, and starting fresh. That's how this thing happens, okay? So, today I want to talk to you about the carnal mind. Identifying the source of the carnal mind and then what it produces. When we're talking about the carnal mind, friends, we're talking about our natural human mind with all of its brokenness and all of its frailty, that natural human mind that we were all born with. That's what our carnal mind is. Every single person that's ever been born has that mind, the carnal mind, okay? Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, the Apostle Paul is going to talk about this. So let's check this out. "For those who live according to the flesh," or that old carnal mind, that old way, "those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh, operating out of a carnal mind," if I could say that, "they cannot please God." Okay, so let's unpack some observations here about a carnal mind. First of all, a carnal mind is one that sets itself on the things of the flesh. Now, sets itself is interesting because this isn't just some kind of passive thing. When you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you are fixing your opinion in a stubborn way that carnal, fleshly, unrepentant, ungodly thoughts and actions are right. That's what you're saying when you're living and setting your mind on carnal things and the things of the flesh. That this is right, that this is okay, that this defines who I am, and that's just the way it is, and it's okay to be this way. It's a very aggressive stance. Next, what does it produce? A carnal mind produces death. It's not a nice word, but would y'all say death? And the reason I want you to say that is this. I want you to understand that there is no way that you can live with a carnal mind and get spiritual results. There is one thing that a carnal mind is going to produce: death. I want you to hear that word so that you can understand when the challenge comes for you to start thinking and acting carnally, that you'll know what it really will produce and not what it really promises. Because what carnal thinking promises isn't what it's going to produce. It's going to produce death, period, and there's no way around it. It might have some perfume or some cologne sprayed on it. It might be spit polished a little bit. But at the end of the road, it is going to be death. That's what carnality produces, period. What else is this about the carnal mind? It says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. See, we want to understand what it is so that we can't just write it off and say, well, it's not that bad. I mean, this is serious stuff. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is hostile. It opposes God. And it even hates God. The carnal mind is not subject to God, not submitted, not obedient, not mindful of the things of God. The carnal mind is mindful about carnal, natural, soulish things, not redemptive, spiritual, renewed things. It's not subject to God. It's not mindful of godly things. Therefore, it can't please God. So the Apostle Paul, after describing this carnal mind in Romans chapter 8, talks to the church in Philippi. And we get to see what this, again, what this carnal mind and activity produces and how heartbreaking it is for the Apostle Paul. He says in Philippians 3, 18 and 19, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping," he's heartbroken, "that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame." Look at what he says. "They set their mind on earthly things." Leave that up. He's talking to church people in Philippi, and he says, "I'm telling you right now, even weeping, that there are people who walk contrary to the ways of Christ, and they actually become enemies of the cross of Christ." How does a churchgoer become an enemy of the cross, the purposes of Christ? How does someone who confesses to believe in Jesus in their heart actually work against the purposes of God? I'll tell you how that happens. It happens by merely believing in Jesus in your heart and not getting your mind renewed. It happens by letting foul carnal things in your mind fester and incubate to the point where you then work them out in your body, in your deeds. And then there's people around you who listen to the confession of your mouth and your heart that you're about Jesus, but then they watch you live lives that are totally contrary to him, and you actually are contributing to people not coming to Christ. You've become an enemy of the cross of Christ. Maybe even while you go to church. Serious stuff. No wonder the Apostle Paul was weeping. Because as we're to be people who are bringing people to the cross of Christ by a changed, transformed, renewed mind and life, we're actually causing people to go the other way because they look at our actions and they can't reconcile our actions with our words. Become enemies of the cross of Christ. Serious stuff. He goes on and tells you what their end is. It's destruction. It's death. He tells you that their God is their belly. It literally means their appetite for carnal, natural, sensual, worldly things. And actually what they glory in is things that they should be ashamed of. And he says it's all because they set their mind on earthly things. As a man thinketh in his heart, in his mind, so is he. Guaranteed. Another snapshot of a carnal mind. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. So he's written to the church in Corinth. He's written to the church in Philippi. Now he's writing to the church in Ephesus because this is an issue that he needed to repeat. It's important. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul is speaking of people's old condition before they came to Christ. And he said, "And you, Jesus has made alive. You were dead in your trespasses and your sins, in what you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, look at, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just like everybody else. He lets us know that the carnal mind is under worldly satanic influence. Again, this isn't a light issue. This isn't something to be flirted with and played with. No, the carnal mind is under devilish, demonic, worldly influence. And because of that, it leads to fulfilling carnal desires. And ultimately, unless you repent of that carnal mind and live a transformed life, it ends up being the very destruction, the wrath of God being poured out on you. And so again, living with a natural carnal mind, it doesn't end well in any way, shape, or form. Another snapshot of a carnal mind. This is just two chapters later in the book of Ephesians. This is chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Again, I want you to see Paul is talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Look at, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God, look at, in true righteousness and holiness. What is Paul telling to the church in Ephesus? He tells them, first of all, hey, y'all, I don't want you to be futile in your minds, because again, the war is on your mind and it all starts with the thoughts that you think. Don't be futile in your minds. Futile, it's an interesting word. It means empty, worthless, useless, waffling, kind of undisciplined, warring, going back and forth in nothingness. It's a difficult word to try to describe because it means several different things. It just means letting nothing kind of just have its crazy way in your mind. Not thinking of anything spiritually or eternally valuable. Just empty, worthless, useless thoughts. And he says to those in Ephesus, I'm telling you, don't walk like the rest of the unbelievers walk. If he's telling us that we shouldn't walk that way, it's because there's the possibility to. Next thing he said, I don't want you to have a futile mind because it leads to being darkened in your understanding. Being darkened in your understanding of God's will and God's way. When your understanding becomes darkened in the things of God become obscured. It gets smoky and cloudy and you can't really see through the deception that you've allowed yourself to walk in. And so God's way becomes convoluted and distorted and cloudy, and you can't quite see exactly what the heart and mind and will of God is. And it all starts in your mind. If that doesn't get in check, it gets worse. It leads to you being alienated from the life of God. You become totally estranged from the life and peace and blessing of God. Now, I've got to stop for a minute and tell you something here. This is an important observation. We're talking today about the corrupt mind. The carnal mind. Next week, we're going to talk about the corrupt mind, because a carnal mind that goes unchecked becomes a corrupt mind. And a corrupt mind that goes unchecked will become then, it declines. It becomes a darkened mind. And a darkened mind that doesn't get checked gets all the way down to a debased mind. So there's a decline in all of these different types of minds that we're going to look at. But even within each one of them, you see their own diminution of everything that is good and an escalation of everything that is bad. And so he starts off by saying, hey, don't just have a futile mind, because it leads to a darkened understanding. And a darkened understanding leads to being alienated from the life of God.
And that's all because of the ignorance, he says, that is within people. Ignorance results from prolonged understanding being darkened, being futile, thinking that way and just letting its habits weigh in you. Ignorance gives birth to all manner of wicked things. And then he says, you end up having a blind heart. And again, the word heart and mind used interchangeably in the Greek language. You end up with a blind mind. I thought, what does blind mean? The first word that came up was stupid. The Holy Spirit says, if you're going to have a futile mind and a darkened understanding, you're going to be alienated from the life of God. It's going to end up for you to have a stupid mind, a calloused mind, a hardened mind, a hardened heart. Again, carnal mind, futile mind, doesn't produce any good thing. How does that even get worse? He says it gets people to the point where they get past feeling. It's where we get the concept of being apathetic, past feeling, without care, and just being totally numb. Again, declining, getting worse and worse. And then the last thing he says about this, he said you end up just giving yourselves over to all manner of lewdness and uncleanness. You give yourselves over, you just surrender to all manner of sinfulness. And the radical decline all started with thoughts that weren't kept in check. You see, beloved, I know this. I know that this sermon series is going to help and equip all of us with truth tools. I know that very generally speaking. I know that it's going to help some of us get our minds renewed and all that kind of stuff. But here's something else I know. I know that this sermon series is a warning shot from God to some folks. It is God putting up roadblocks and barriers saying, listen to my voice. Don't crash through this next roadblock, because if you do, you're going to go to a deeper place of depravity. It is a loving warning from our Heavenly Father saying, stop it now. I want all of us to learn. I want all of us to grow. I want all of us to be equipped and get our mind renewed without question. We all need that. But I'm telling you, some of you are in a runaway freight train. You have been blasting through all manner of roadblocks that the grace of God has set up for you. And if you continue to blast through those, you are going to go off the edge of the cliff. Stop. Put the brakes on before you decline any further. Identify the source of your carnal living as your carnal mind. Repent of it. Receive forgiveness. And move on in true righteousness and holiness. So, Paul then shouts to the believers, I don't want you walking like the rest of the Gentiles. In verse 17 and verse 20 and 21, he's telling you Jesus hasn't taught you to live that kind of reprobate life. Verse 22, he tells you, put off the old man, your old nature, your old mind, and your old thoughts. Get rid of that stuff. Verse 23 and 24, what does he tell you to do? Renew your mind. Put on the new man, a new mind with new thoughts and new ways that lead to new actions, that leads to transformed life, that leads to you not being an enemy of the cross of Christ, but a proclaimer of the cross of Christ that leads to other people coming to Christ. Now, we're going to close with this example of how quickly a believer can operate in a carnal mind. It's an interesting story. I never put this together quite like this. I hope that God would give us fresh perspective and insight to look at this and see this battle. And how quickly we can go from walking in the Spirit and living in a spiritual mindset to losing it and operating in a carnal mind. Famous story, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. Verses 13 through 17, you were right. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, or others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Now Simon Peter, the fisherman, answered and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to Simon Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." We love that story. It is the first proclamation of one of Jesus' inner circle or people publicly, like laying out who Jesus is. Who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Yes, you nailed it, Peter. You nailed it, because the Father has given you a revelation of who I am." There is a spiritual event happening here that happened in your mind that came out your mouth, and you nailed it, bro. That's exactly right. Oh, how quickly. Peter goes from totally getting it right to like completely blowing it. Let's go on. Verse 21. "Now from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him, the Son of God, aside and began to rebuke him." This is Peter rebuking Jesus. And he's saying to him, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Simon Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Peter is celebrated as the rock upon who Jesus will build his church. He got the revelation from the Father about who Jesus is. He is riding on cloud nine. He's never had a more spiritual mind and a more spiritual moment. And he goes from that, just that quick, to pulling Jesus aside, rebuking him, and letting him know that Jesus is missing the point. Just that quick. Can we just be honest for a few moments? Anybody ever had a just that quick moment in your life? First service, me and Rick were the only ones that raised our hands. It was interesting. No, you've had those moments where you're in church, you're at the 11:11 service, and worship's happening. I mean, you've never been more holy. It's never been more right. I mean, it's flowing, blowing, and going. I mean, everything is just, it is good. Yet you've never felt more renewed and revived and regenerated in every good thing. It's right. And something happens by the time you get down to Polly and them at Halfway Market. You've done flipped somebody off and honked your horn. You've cussed at the dog who ran across the street down there. Now that we've defined a just that quick moment, would anybody like to say, "I've had a just that quick moment"? Yeah, you've had a just that quick moment. I mean, it's right in church. It's right. It's beauty. You're going to go home and have the best Sunday ever. And something happens. You get home, you stub your toe on the door. The kid left the thing there, and There's just something coming out of you where your kids and your wife, they know you're demon-possessed. That there's no way that this guy can be this guy. listen, if we don't make some kind of joke about this, we can only cry about it. And the point that I'm making and the point that we see in Peter's life is just that quick. And if the carnal mind and the spiritual mind can be, you know, going at it, and the carnal mind can come against the spiritual mind and overtake it just that quick, how much more careful do we need to be gatekeepers of our mind? If it happened to Peter, it can happen to me for sure. See, I want you to know, I want you to understand. I know you said the prayer and there was tears coming down and you received Jesus and it was all great and that's perfect and your soul, your spirit was saved and yes, yes, yes to all that. Doesn't stop there. You gave him your heart. Now give him your mind. Think about what you're thinking about. Realize the carnal mind that we have can be activated that quick. And words can come out of our mouth like they did to Peter that are an offense to Jesus. Thoughts that percolate and have been born there without being taken captive, that are satanically inspired. I know we don't like to think that. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God, but only the things of man, natural things. This seems right to me naturally, humanly." Gosh, the more I'm trying to walk this thing out, I'm realizing the more things that I'm, you know, just right about and need to respond to and all that stuff, it's not the will of God. The more you back off, try to think about it, hold on, get some biblical perspective, get some spiritual perspective, let me renew my mind, let me make sure that what I'm wanting to say is right, what I'm wanting to do, let's make sure that's right. Is it in line with the will of God? Is it true? Is it noble? Is it just? Is it praiseworthy? Is it of a good report? Is it virtuous? Is it pure and lovely? Is it those things? If it's not those things, then it's not coming out of my mouth, and I'm not going to do it in my body. I'm really going to end now with a great quote from John Berridge. He's an English evangelist revivalist from the 1700s. This will give us some graphic perception here, I think. He said, "The scripture does not order the carnal mind to be sanctified, but mortified and crucified, dealt with as a wild beast. Where the carnal mind rules, the soul is dead. It's dead to God." Now here's what he says. The regenerate, those who have had a regenerating experience with Jesus Christ, a saving experience with Jesus, the regenerate have both a spiritual and a carnal mind. He said, the unregenerate, they only live with a carnal mind. Beloved, we have the mind of Christ operating in us, and we have still that carnal mind that just, you know, doesn't seem to go away quick enough, too often. That carnal mind is going to war against our spiritual mind. It's going to war against the mind of Christ, and we have decisions to make. How are we going to deal with our carnal mind? Now, I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't believe will be uncomfortable at all, and it will, I think, help the moment here. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes and listen. Focus. This is application now. If you're not dealing with your carnal mind as the wild beast that it is, that needs to be contained or even, yes, killed, you need to know you're going to live by its carnal ways. That is going to happen. You're going to reap what you sow. Hey, now listen to me. I want you to listen. Where selfish, insecure, manipulative, unforgiving, vengeful, angry, bitter, negative, jealous, lustful, licentious, where those thoughts and thoughts like them, where those thoughts rule you, they will wreak havoc in you and they will wreak havoc through you. They will find their way to manifest in every relationship that you and I have. You will lack the peace and life and blessing of God. Your relationship with the world will be unholy because you will have been valuing its ways and means. Your relationship with God will be hindered at best and non-existent at worst. Your relationship with loved ones will be strained to the point of breaking at best or completely broken at worst. Listen to me. If you have identified carnal thinking in your life based on the list that we just kind of went through, might not have been exactly the things that I said, but you know of the like. If you've identified carnal thinking in your life, listen, it's time to repent today. It's one of those roadblocks that God has set up to say, hey, okay, no more now. It's time to repent. It means to turn away from those kinds of thoughts. It's time to repent. Next, it's time to ask for forgiveness. And it's then time to receive forgiveness. There's no question that God will forgive. Don't just ask, receive. And then start being, from today forward, a gatekeeper of your mind in those areas of weakness and attack. Again, renew your thoughts according to the new person that you are in Christ, based in holiness and all righteousness. So let's bow in attitude, in heart, in mind. And let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, to your throne of grace, to find mercy that we are desperate for. Father, we've identified the carnal parts of our mind that have wreaked havoc in our lives. And Father, we choose today as an act of our will to repent of those things, to say no to them, to say no more to them, to say, God, we agree with you in your word that they're wrong. We're going to quit whitewashing it and making it okay or just merely minimizing it. We're going to agree with your word and call it what it is. It's sin. And so we repent of it right now, God. We ask you, Father, to forgive us. We pray that the blood of Jesus would be applied to our minds, that we would be washed and made clean. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, and we receive forgiveness now. Lord, we say to you, as best we know how in this vulnerable, sacred moment, God, we're going to walk with a renewed mind according to the new man and new woman that we are in Christ. We're going to appropriate your truths. We are indeed going to think on the things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of a good report and virtuous and praiseworthy. We're going to just start right there, renewing our mind with thoughts that are in line with that. God, we repent. We ask for forgiveness. We receive forgiveness. And we tell you we're going to walk now in the newness of life. We refuse, oh God, to agree with the enemy any longer. We refuse, oh God, to let our carnal mind go unchecked so that it then becomes corrupt. Rescue us, O remedy of our souls. Heal us. Set us free. We believe you for all these things. In the wonderful name of Jesus, the Savior of our entire being, body, mind, and spirit. Save us, O God. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. 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 Renewed mind, transform lives. Glory to God. And God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless y'all, church. We will see you soon, 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 soon. Go be a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you and love you all.